With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.
Time for another Tech Tuesday here at RCR Reality Check Radio. Stephen Sykes is beaming in to talk techie things. And Stephen, good to see you again.
Good to see you. How you doing?
Not too bad. We had a great time in Auckland.
Excellent. I watched the live stream earlier on. I thought it went well.
Yeah. Interesting people, interesting questions. And I like live streams. I think they're good. Yeah. All right. Some items of feedback to kick off, and more than just one or two.
Yeah. So the first one is that someone has said, could you please ask Stephen in your Tech Tuesday segment what he'd recommend as an online place to securely share photos, videos, and maybe audio files, I guess media stuff, with friends, family, and work colleagues. I am suspicious and don't really like using the sites offered by Google, Apple, Microsoft, etc., even though they're easy to use and often free. Happy to pay a small subscription too. Any suggestions? Well, I'm glad you're suspicious, and to say that they're often free is not entirely accurate. It's free in the sense that you don't pay with money.
Right, you pay with information.
You pay with information. You pay with their data.
Yeah.
I use two. I use Nextcloud on my own equipment, and Nextcloud is definitely a system that you could consider using. You can either host it yourself if you felt like a little fun weekend project, but there's a lot of providers out there that will do it all for you. If you go to nextcloud.com and have a rummage around there, you should be able to find some providers. Otherwise, another one that I use is called NordLocker. That is part of the NordVPN service. You can pay about $2.99 a month. I think that's 500, might be 500 gigs. I have one that offers a terabyte, which is lots. And the cool thing with the NordLocker one is that for what you're sharing, whether it's a folder or individual files, NordLocker will create a unique link for that. So then you can email that link to whoever you want, and it will also create a separate access code. So the link by itself is useless. You need to have the code too. So then you to email the link by email, for example, and then via Signal or Session, you send the access code, and then you use them together and you get it your stuff.
Yeah.
You could also consider, there's another one called Tresorit, sync.com, and mega.nz.
Mega?
Mega.
That one?
That one, the New Zealand one.
Yeah, okay. Still going.
Still going. Well, in a different form, but otherwise, yeah,
that's
still going.
The legacy one is the one I'm referring to, obviously.
Yes.
The extinct one or version 1.0. I was just thinking as you're, talking about the information being how you pay, with photos and videos, are they starting to be looked at to identify people in there or groups of people or age ranges of people or whatever the data reveals, you know, it sort of analyzes that. Is that happening?
Not only that, but also to, and this was something that sort of got paused as part of the CSAM, if you remember what that is, what's it stand for? Child Sexual Abuse Material, CSAM. And so they're saying that, oh, we'll scan your phone looking for this, and the idea is to buy people into that because who wants to have that bad stuff out in the wild? But at the same time, if there's a person in interest that they, in inverted commas, are looking for, and say you're in a restaurant, right, and you're taking a photo with friends and family or whoever, by chance, in the background, the person of interest happens to be dining. So those photos in your account or anyone's account get scanned looking for them, and then using the geolocation data and the photo, okay, I know now that person was in that restaurant at this time because this phone says so.
Wow. You just blew my mind. Okay, so that's facial recognition at a distance.
Well, yeah, but scanning everything on your phone, which you've then gone and stashed into a cloud account belonging to Apple. But they put that on pause, and interestingly, they stopped because of pushback, but hopefully obvious reasons. But the code is still there.
Yeah, lurking.
So that if it's decided later on, they can switch it on temporarily or even permanently. It's there.
How could you hold yourself back, ultimately? It's too tempting, isn't it?
To switch to something like that on.
Yeah, and to sell it on exactly what you described there, you know, some crim sitting in the restaurant in the background. Okay, people would buy that, but just think of what it means. You know?
Well, exactly. I mean, whatever happened to innocence before being considered guilty, and just because they might be a person of interest, they just could be somebody who's standing up against the state. They might not actually be a criminal. They just might have hold a narrative that is not acceptable.
And then they're asking you, well, what were you doing there? Do you know this person? I suppose they've already looked into that by the time they ask you those questions. Wow, okay. That was a good question and good advice there. What else have we got?
So somebody has said that they heard that Sam Altman carries an AI kill switch just in case it goes rogue. I don't know if that's true or not, but yeah, if you're a little bit paranoid, you probably would have something like that available.
Let's think about this. Would you have one or wouldn't you have one? If we've been talking about the potential damage of AI, and it could be huge, so that would be, yeah, you probably would have one. If you didn't have one, you'd be so blasé and nonchalant about it, that it wouldn't make sense. Probably does have one.
If you were erring on the side of caution, you'd definitely have one.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Okay, interesting thing coming through, but we can't confirm or deny that. We just don't know.
No.
All right.
Somebody had tried to go to Countdown's website on their phone and got a message that they can't access it because they're using Tor. I didn't replicate that on my phone, but I could easily do that on my desktop machine using the Tor browser. One thing that might be worth having a go at is when you use Tor, the exit node could be in a country that Countdown doesn't allow. When I was doing it, I was popping out of the Netherlands and Germany and the USA, and that all worked for me. If you're doing it on the desktop, up towards the left of where the URL is, there's a little icon you can tap on, and it shows you the countries involved in your Tor circuit. So it's possible that you try to get to Countdown out of a country where it was forbidden, but try again on a desktop or laptop computer and see if you get different results.
A country that would forbid Countdown's website, is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Or forbid access to it?
The other way around. So Countdown might say, okay, well, you can't access our site from that country.
Oh, right, I got you.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking of Countdown being on some sort of watch list, you know. anything else?
One other thing. Somebody had messaged questioning when I defined UDP. I said unreliable datagram protocol, and they were thinking, well, actually, according to Wikipedia, it's actually user datagram protocol. But if you go and look at the Wikipedia entry, up the very top, it does mention that it's the UDP page is redirected from unreliable datagram protocol. And I went and looked at my notes that I'd taken when I was studying this stuff in 1997. Yes, I do keep stuff like this. And in 1997, I'd written down unreliable datagram protocol. So that's probably an older name. And now people say use a datagram protocol instead, but both are actually correct.
So it's a draw.
It's a draw.
Okay.
But I appreciate the sentiment. I appreciate the feedback.
Yeah, but the original words are probably, if you're going to say what are the real, the real description is that really, because they're the original one. So you kind of won.
Well, I guess. Is it, is this a router router thing?
Oh, don't go there. Okay, so that's the feedback. Newsy stuff. Which newsy one do you want stuff. To start with? Yeah.
Well, a lot of people are trying to push back against smart meters in their house because of the health effects with the EMF. And power companies are not always sympathetic towards that. So I thought, well, maybe we need to consider a different angle. So I've thought up a different angle. So I've written some words and I'm going to write down what I've said.
Okay.
So you can try and use this information if you want to try and push back from a different angle. Some people I do know stick a padlock through the box. So if anyone tries to get in, that's not so easy. But this is what I've written. Okay.
Okay. Can we have Kit saying this or is it you?
You're going to have to seal for me right now.
All right. Off you go. Let's hear
Okay. So tell your power company that you're on a mission to reduce your cybersecurity risk. You know from publications that smart meters can be dangerously insecure and are prone to being cracked by criminals, leading them to know when you're out and rob you. You're also aware that data from smart meters is so sensitive and precise that it can reveal what television channel you're watching, and this data can then be sold or shared with interested third parties. Ask your power company for evidence that the smart meter they wish to install is actually secure and what security standards it meets, including protocols used with its communications and results from penetration testing. Ask for a relevant copy of these standards pertaining to the exact make and model they want to install. Ask for a copy of their terms and conditions and privacy policy relating to the acquisition and use of the data obtained from the smart meter. If they push back and say that you'll have to contact the manufacturer of the smart meter for those sorts of details, remind them that your contract is with them, the power company, and not with the manufacturer. The power company is responsible for choosing the make and model of the smart meter and introducing a device into your house that could pose a cybersecurity risk.
Right. How do they know what TV channel they've got me you're watching? Is there some sort of like fuzzy power pattern when it's TV One or something?
I haven't read the article, but some research done by a few people, and it was called Measuring the Energy Intensity of Domestic Activities from Smart Meter Data, documented in Applied Energy 183, published in 2016, details this.
Wow. Where does this not safe anywhere?
Well,
just waking up and breathing is going to get you.
Well, funny you should say that. Well, not the breathing part, but in a few weeks from now, I'm going to read out a story. This is a teaser, okay?
So, all right. Get
spoilers,
ready.
Spoilers, sweetie. I'm going to write a story based upon real-world events, which highlights how, for anybody, how you're being tracked, monitored, data logged, the whole shebang, in order to put this into real terms, because you can talk about stuff like this and it sounds all hypothetical, but if you put it into a story which can relate to you, and when people relate to things, you know, when it affects them, they're no longer indifferent.
Yeah, no, good point. All right, well, look forward to that. That's going to be good. Can Kit read that as well? No, I'm just having you on.
Maybe you could.
Okay, Proton Mail, what's happening there?
Oh, yes. So Proton Mail has come under scrutiny for its role in a legal request involving the Spanish authorities and a member of the Catalan independence organization, Democratic Tsunami. So when I was, and I've said this more than once, be careful what you do with Proton if you're going to use it, given that they have had a history of complying with a whole bunch of legal orders. In 2023, the number of legal orders that they received was 6,378. They contested 407, and they complied with the rest, 5,971.
That's not a good ratio.
That's not a good ratio at all. The way this person sort of got, shall we say, quote unquote, given up was through a recovery email address that they supplied with a Proton account. And Proton have said that a person's inbox does remain encrypted and unavailable. But I still have doubts about all of that. I mean, yeah, about the service as a whole.
Yeah, quite a few people do think of it as a protected service.
That's the reputation it's got.
Yeah. Okay. All righty. What would it be like if you hit a button and $125 billion of pension fund goes suddenly missing? What happens there? What do you do?
I think that's when you go and change your pants, because that's a brown pants moment right there.
Yeah. Tell us what happened here.
So recently, Google made a very large mistake. The company accidentally erased the private Google Cloud account of $125 billion Australian pension fund UniSuper. But UniSuper had a backup account with another cloud provider, and they were able to get services going again after a few days.
Wow. The relief must have been palpable. So I'm thinking if they didn't have a backup account at another cloud provider, all that would have been lost and that would have been it.
They would have been hosed. And I kind of wonder if when the IT people for UniSuper had created the cloud account and then they wanted to do the backup one on another provider, they would have had to have convinced management to say, we need a backup system somewhere else.
Right. Yeah.
And, of course, management don't tend to like spending money.
And would
trust Google blindly, yeah. So this is one of those times when I told you so is relevant. You need to have a backup somewhere else just in case stuff like this happens. And although Google has said that it's an isolated, quote-unquote, one-of-a-kind occurrence that has never before happened with any of Google Cloud's clients globally.
You have to wonder, was that a cyber, some kind of, do you buy it's a mistake?
It could be. It very easily could be. Easily could be.
Right.
But those
though Google could probably afford to pay the money as compensation.
Yeah, probably out of their back pocket. But yeah. But you can imagine if they didn't, like, oh dear, all my CBDCs have gone.
I can't
buy groceries. Oops, all my banking data disappeared. All of a sudden,
it's a very good point.
I've got no money anymore.
How would you persuade people that CBDC is rock solid if you can just say, well, what happens when the power goes off? And what happens if it goes off for a long period of time? What happens?
I imagine they build it in such a way that your balance and transactions are actually replicated.
Okay.
But at the same time, Google stores unimaginable amounts of data. They really do. Like, they have 60% of the world's 1,000 biggest companies, and 90% of generative AI is its customers.
Yeah.
And the US government keep using cloud services. The NSA has a $10 billion deal with Amazon to put their intelligence surveillance data into Amazon's cloud. And the Pentagon's got a $9 billion contract with Microsoft, Google, and Oracle, and Amazon for cloud computing services. That's a lot of money.
And these data centers, the physical size of them must be massive.
Yeah, and they're spread out all around the world as well. There's trying to think where it is in the world. I think it's around the USA somewhere. One of the Google data centers, they use seawater for cooling the system.
Wow.
For cooling all the. And
then, it runs so hot.
Yeah. And then the water that goes back into the ocean is 1 degree warmer.
Oh, okay. Gee.
Yeah, so they've tried to cool it back down again, but it's going back 1 degree warmer.
Scale of it, it's just mind-blowing. Okay, well, that was a lucky escape. That was a big relief. And whoever recommended the backup, big-time promotion. Yeah. You'd expect that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Like, sea management, this is why we do stuff like this, and you don't always appreciate it until it hits the fan.
Yeah. Imagine getting that call.
Yeah.
There's some bad news.
Are you sitting down?
It's Sunday. Give us a break. Oh, no. I think you really need to hear this. All right. Moving on. Time is against this clock ticking all the time. The main event now of the show, what is it?
So somebody wrote in a few weeks ago asking if we could discuss body cameras that the audio of it's transcribed by AI systems. So this is there's a company called Axon who currently are more well known for creating tasers. They've $22 billion contract with US police.
I heard someone describe the taser as the Edison medicine.
Edison medicine. I remember that one. So the CEO of Axon, Brick Smith, had said that the Fort Collins, Colorado Police Department has seen an 82% decrease in time spent writing up reports. So they say that if an officer spends less time actually writing these, they can get on with actually doing actual police work. There's a few problems with this, is that according to research and the article our listener provided, there's a lot of police biasing in the kind of work they choose to do. So they tend to make casual stops and checks up on people rather than actually spending time responding to calls. And I've heard a lot lately, even in New Zealand, there's a lot of things now that police simply just don't even bother turning up for.
Right.
And then consider the AI system itself. When we talked about AI many months ago, we talked about how bias can creep in, and I gave the Amazon CVs as an example, which was actually showing human biases already, and it was being represented through the AI. And also consider that if the system ended up being good, then you'd get a sense of, I would call it a false sense of security. And even though the system is made such that a officer could go and verify the transcribed report, which if you think about it, ends up potentially becoming a legal document used in court.
Yep.
What if it gets it wrong and the cop doesn't bother actually reading it? Verify that it's correct? And then how does it also handle intense situations when you've got multiple voices going on and being able to differentiate between who said what and then without introducing
and
biases?
And other people shout over each other.
They do. And then potentially different accents, if different accents are involved.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes. So there could be a bias against somebody who speaks, shall
could
we say.
Could be, probably will be, Stephen.
Yeah. In inverted commas, if someone talks funny, whatever talks funny sounds like.
And then you've got all those sort of slang ways of speaking. And I heard it when I was in Auckland. I hear it everywhere. I like it, but, you know.
Mm.
And also the human condition is that, as you said, if it is consistently accurate, let's say, I don't know what sort of percentage of inaccuracy is intolerable, probably zero, actually, because it could mean that someone is falsely accused of something or the evidence is, you know, twisted just a little to have a case, you'd lose a case.
Yes.
You know.
And I imagine... I thought this occurred to me, and I imagine this probably does happen, but if transcribing had an error in, with the grammar, have you ever read a sentence, and I'm sure you have, where the presence or the absence of a comma in a sentence changes how you interpret the sentence entirely.
Over and over, totally. Yeah,
exactly.
In fact, if you don't see that comma coming, you will not read it like it needs a comma. You'll just read it as you see it, and then it sometimes doesn't even really quite make sense.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely is the answer to that.
Yeah. So there's all these biases. It's the garbage in, garbage out problem.
Yeah.
Again.
Some things are too hard to do, aren't they?
Well, I've come to realize, and this is in a completely unrelated context, that sometimes there are problems that just don't have solutions.
Yeah. And what's wrong with humans doing it?
Well, if you wanted humans to do it, then you wouldn't necessarily need to have a police officer who spends their time going out and doing policey things, doing the work. You could employ someone else, another human, to do the transcribing.
But when you're dealing with, very important human factors in those areas particularly, because you know it's going to screw up somewhere. All right.
Writing reports are simply par for the course.
Well, that can be fun.
Yeah.
No, it can't be. Must be a pain in the backside having to write up a big long report, right?
Which I think is the selling point for introducing this in the first place.
Because you just speak it in, don't you? Is that how it's done? No, it's recorded from the actual footage, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then you just upload it into the system, and then you got to start asking questions around, okay, whose service is this, privacy policies and all this kind of stuff, which is probably not that different from where people are storing their data in the cloud already. Yes, of course, people don't bother to read them. And when they read them, they don't understand them.
You could impersonate someone. If you're a good impersonator, you could incriminate someone in a crime scene just by speaking in their voice.
Well, yes, if you know someone's wearing a body cam like that, which if you make the assumption that police would be.
Yeah, I'm just seeing where it can go. That's a really interesting one. All right, anything more to talk about? Are we done on time?
I think we're done.
What's coming up?
Well, as we speak, Tech Week / Tech Fest is going on, so I'm at that all of this week. So I'll report back about what I see.
That'd be great. Yep.
I mean, it's a whole week, so I imagine my brain will be mush by the whole end of it. And then after that, the next session after that, I should say, will be all about smart cities and cars.
I'm looking forward to that one already, again. More and more people are talking about it.
Good.
Now I'm noticing, not too many more, but there seems to be a familiarity now with that label, that term.
Hopefully that means they're asking questions rather than just going, oh, okay, this is the next thing, we'll get used to it.
And this sounds along. So convenient.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
that would. The convenience. All right, Stephen, great to catch up with you. Have a good week at the event there, and looking forward to the report back next Tuesday at RCR.
Cheers. See you then.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.